Hi, Tim. How's it going? I haven't seen you in a little bit.
Yeah, it's going well. How was your trip?
It was great. I got to see my family, go trick-or-treating with my nephews, and my mom's birthday was also that week, so I spent the day day drinking with my parents, which is always a fun time. Highly recommend if you've never had that experience before. What about you? Anything interesting happen while I was gone?
Funny you should mention that.
Oh, did we get any new Witcher news? I know Blood Origin premieres soon.
Well, we did find out that Witcher is getting a fourth season.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that Henry Cavill is leaving the show, and he's going to be replaced by Liam Hemsworth as Geralt.
Who the what now? So, yeah. Hey, Witcher fans. We got a new side quest for you, and this is a particularly interesting one because we got some news.
Yeah, this is one that we would have liked to have gotten to you a little bit sooner, but...
Somebody decided to go visit her family and was in Ohio for less than 24 hours before, like, Witcher fandom fell apart. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the one time in all the time I've known you that you've gone back for Halloween. Like, you go back for Thanksgiving, like Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, those you always go in the summer,
yeah.
But it's not like you normally go for Halloween. So the one year you do that.
Trick or treat, baby. I got both, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So this came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And if you're living under a rock and you don't know what we're talking about, it was announced that Henry Cavill is stepping down from the role of Geralt. Season 3 is going to be his last season, and he's going to be replaced by Liam Hemsworth starting in season 4.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, before we get into like what we're really going to get into, we should at least acknowledge that we're getting a season 4.
Yeah,
like,
that's really exciting.
That got buried, no one talked about that because of all the other stuff, which we'll get to. But like the fact that we're getting a season 4, there was no guarantee we were going to get a season 4. Like Netflix.
'Cause 3 is not even out yet. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 isn't even out yet. Netflix is clearly going through some shit. They're canceling things left and
okay,
right.
Netflix?
Yeah.
You're doing okay there, buddy?
Yeah. And they also, whether it's actually legit or not, and I've heard that there is some legitimacy to it, they have a reputation at killing things after 3 seasons,
mm-hmm.
don't they?
So, yeah, they do.
So had they canceled, had they said that Witcher season 3 was going to be its last, like, it wouldn't have been entirely... surprising. Honestly, I was kind of preparing for that a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially with kind of all the sort of craziness that's been happening with Blood Origin and, mm-hmm. Some of the other things that have come out. I was prepared for that. So the fact that we're getting a season 4, I think, is good. So like, let's take a moment to just appreciate that and acknowledge that before we get into all the craziness about recasting Geralt and, everything that has wrought.
Oh my gosh. So much drama.
Yeah. So I just wanted to take a moment to at least acknowledge that.
No, and I appreciate that. Thank you for looking on the bright side, Tim. Cause I'm super psyched for season 4. It's going to be, it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. But I'm happy that we have one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there, like I said, there's no guarantee that we were. So
yeah.
Let's at least appreciate that regardless of
moment.
What you think about,
Take
about
a moment
everything
for some
else.
Joy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyhow, you had like kind of an idea of how this side quest was going to go.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about, I have some different topics and I want to get your reaction and I'll share my reactions as well. Speaking of reactions, let's talk about initial reactions to the news. Like, what did you think? I have to say, I found out from my friend Dan, who listens to the podcast, Dan, who randomly sent me a text message. You guys, I was minding my own business, hanging out with my mom on her front patio, watching the world go by. And then I get a text from Dan that says, I'm so sad about The Witcher. And I went, what? What's going on with The Witcher? Why are you sad? And I honestly thought was it canceled? What happened? And
especially with a text like that, I would have thought
and then I quickly Googled and was like, oh, Henry Cavill, what? What? And then I texted you.
Yeah, and you're how I found out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know about it until I got that text from you.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to make Dan drink for throwing that at you without context.
Well, he's not wrong.
It's an appropriate reaction. I think Dan would happily drink, actually.
Yeah, right?
he enjoys a good cocktail now and then.
Indeed.
But yeah, no, I wouldn't have known if not for you. Well, I mean, I'm sure I would have found out, but
you were the one
who let me know. So it's funny how that happened, especially out of the two of us. Like, you're the one who'd be less likely to be following news and keeping up on that sort of stuff. And out of the blue. But I mean, it caught everyone off guard.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Like, what was your reaction to it?
I mean, complete surprise. Like, it just seemed out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I guess. All right. So So to take the bigger context, what you were just saying, yeah. take that all into account. Like you, I think your text message to me was something like, so Dan just told me the Witcher news.
Yeah.
And then my thought was immediately like, uh-oh, was it canceled?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened? And so immediately I went and looked. And so I think my first reaction was like, whoa, that's huge. And then, but it was like relief that it wasn't canceled.
Yeah.
So honestly, that was my first reaction before anything else was I'm like, okay, I'm glad it's not canceled. And then my second immediate reaction was just kind of like, okay. Like, honestly, it was. Yeah. I'm like, all right, sure. We'll get into this more. But I guess, you know, just to kind of preface everything that you're going to hear coming from me, for all of you guys listening, including Valerie, because I don't think she really knows this about me. I am okay about recastings. Mm-hmm. Like, I always kind of have been. Like, one of my biggest thing, and this is going to be hearsay to fans, you know, to a lot of fans, like, one of my biggest things has always been, like, I love Indiana Jones. I love the Indiana Jones movies. Harrison Ford needs to give up the role. It needs to be someone else. It should have been someone else, like, 15, 20 years ago. Mm. And this franchise should have kept going. The fact that he's holding on to it and people are like, oh, Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. I'm like, no, I don't know. You know, like we have a history of like recasting franchises, recasting roles. And I don't know. To me, this just feels like, you know, another example of that. I don't have like a big issue with the fact that Geralt is getting recast. Now we can discuss, and we will, what we think of it. But like, you know, I don't want to get ahead of.
And like, I also come from like, look, I used to watch soap operas when I was a teenager, and people are recasting those all the time. Doctor Who, James Bond.
Yeah.
And then that's I think about there are actually shows that do something clever with it. Like, I don't know if you ever watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but they recast one of the main characters in the final season with a completely different actor. And they actually worked it into the story really well, where they did this cool thing about perception and how everybody else was like, no, that's totally the same guy. What are you talking about? And the lead actress was like, what do you know? He's different. He looks like a different person. And they did a really cool thing with it story-wise. So,
well, I think it goes back to, for me, a similar sort of thing. It goes back to just kind of being a kid. And like some of the shows that I used to watch kind of on syndicated TV as like a kid, you know, the things that, you know, would
Bewitched.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bewitched with the two Darrens, and then Batman 66 with the three different Catwomen.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone kind of had their favorite. Like, I was used to that. And then, of course, I remember as a kid having conversations with friends of mine about, well, who's your favorite James Bond? And it's like, even before I even knew there were multiple James Bonds. And like you said, Doctor Who was another big one, and everyone kind of had their doctor. So, to me, it never struck me as odd that roles would get recast, and the idea like, oh, I can't picture anyone other than so-and-so in this role.
I mean, House of the Dragon did it like multiple times in one season. Yeah. They did it on purpose, but
was a little confusing. Yeah. They went a little nuts, you know? Witcher already has confused me enough with their wonky timeline at times, you know? It's like, I don't need them doing that. But
but I do think it's interesting because there seems to be a disconnect, and we'll get into some of like the fandom reactions, but I think the people that are online, like terminally online all the time, are very like angry and they should cancel the show and blah, blah, blah. And the people that like you and me are maybe a little bit older, maybe don't live like our entire lives on social media. We're kind of like, it's going to be weird, but I'm here to see how it goes. You know, like there's a very interesting disconnect between like if you listen to the people on social, it's like the end of the world and everybody hates the creative team and this, that, and the other thing. And then if you talk to people like, quote unquote, in the real world, most people are like, oh, okay. you said, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how I saw it. I feel like that's how, you're right. Like kind of the real world sort of people, the people who I've spoken to just kind of out and about, like who've watched The Witcher and, you know, maybe aren't as, it's not as much of their life as it is. Like, I mean, you and I, we do this podcast, you know, so I guess it's a pretty big part of our lives. But then also just the you know, the fandoms, the people who draw this fan art, amazing fan art, and write this fanfic. It's a big part of their lives too. Outside of that circle, that community, it does seem to be like, well, that's interesting. You know, that's kind of, I don't think anyone who in that category has been watching The Witcher is going to stop watching it because of this.
And it's a global property too. I think that's something fans, especially like English speaking fans, don't think about is like, because it's on Netflix, it is shown worldwide. Mm-hmm. It's in like 26 different, you know, languages and countries all over the world. And you know, it's something that's popular. And I wonder if the people casually watching it in Japan or the people casually watching it in France are like, even care, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they'll be like, oh, that's weird, but whatever.
The ones who are watching it dubbed are still going to have their same voice actors. So
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, and then, you know, I guess the last point I would make at this, you know, right now, at this point in our episode is, there's already more than one girl. They're always like, has, you know.
There's been multiple, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, we're talking about the Hexer right now. So Michal Jabrowski, you know, beat Henry Cavill by like 20 years. And then, of course, Doug Cockle voicing him in the game. Like, if you, you know, it's funny. It's like everyone has, you know, and another, you know, another just example of a role that's been recast many times, Batman, you know. Everyone has their favorite Batman, just like everyone maybe has their favorite Doctor or their favorite Doctor Who. And you're talking about Geralt. The one whose voice always kind of goes through my head is Doug Cockle.
Yeah.
You know, even though we're largely we largely focus on the TV show, you know, Henry Cavill is not the you know who I see in my mind when I immediately think of Geralt. I kind of think of the way he looks in Witcher 3 and Doug Cockle's voice. So.
Right.
You know, maybe that's because hours wise,
way more time to the game.
Yeah. You know, even if you've watched the two seasons of Netflix series multiple times, like we have, it's still it's a fraction of what
sailing
you
around Spelga at 2 a.m.
Yeah. So I don't know. To me, like that's if you ask me who's my definitive Geralt, it's kind of the game version of Geralt,
right?
But even that is not saying it's the only Geralt,
you know,
it's just the one that maybe it's like the one I'm most familiar with, the one that, like, you know, when I think of Geralt in my mind and hearing his voice in my head, that's the one I hear.
Yeah.
So,
well, I will tell you, a lot of fans are big mad on the internet.
Oh,
big
mad.
And it's toxic fandom.
I think we're going to maybe make those fans a little bit madder.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Hey,
let me spare you guys some time. Tim and I are old and don't live on social media. We have like actual jobs and we're tired. But so fandom's been, in my opinion, like pretty toxic about this news. And okay, so I'm going to try and thread a delicate needle here, guys, because I want to be critical about some of the PR games that are being played, both by Henry Cavill and his team, as well as Netflix. And I'm not trying to drag anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, I wish everyone happiness and health, right? Like, I don't have any ill feelings towards anyone. But there have been some PR shenanigans going on that I want to talk about. And I think it's part of why fandom is, like, whipped into a frenzy right now. And I guess that ties into another thing we want to talk about. We'll kind of match them up. The reasons for leaving. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of speculation. I want to be very clear that there are no facts. No one has made any official statement. Nobody knows anything.
Say that again. Seriously, say that again. Nobody knows anything.
But I mean, people think they do.
Yes. The people who know what has happened are not speaking.
Right.
So I think that is the point that, you know, I want to hit louder than any other point. What you think you know, you do not.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people out there.
I mean, but it's true. Like, I don't know. I don't have... If anybody wants to be our person on the inside and you do have sweet, sweet secrets that you want to share, we like secrets, much like Codringer and Fenn. But it's... Tim and I do not have an inside track. We don't know anything. Fandom doesn't know anything. People are speculating wildly, but there's no proof.
But I feel like a lot of people think they know what happened. And that is... not the case.
Yeah.
No one knows what went down. No one knows definitively why Henry Cavill, you know, is not going to be Geralt anymore.
Yeah.
No one knows if it was his decision, if it was other people's decision, if it was a combination of the two.
Right.
No one knows.
Yeah.
At least of the people who are talking and speculating and who are acting like they know.
Yeah.
So let's be very clear about that. What you've heard, what you've read, what you've convinced yourself is the reason for this is speculation and a guess. Could be the case, but no one knows that for sure, including whoever you heard it from.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind going forward, because we're going to talk about things. We are totally speculating.
Yes, this is all 100% speculation. This is us reacting to the various theories that we've seen on the internet about this. But I want to be completely clear. It's just speculation. We don't know anything. No one knows anything. Mm-hmm. So everybody chill out a little bit, huh?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
So like the main theory, the one that's got everybody in a tizzy, that I've seen circulating around a lot is creative differences. Mm-hmm. People are saying that he left because of creative differences. People are really holding him up to be like a martyr of canon because, and here's where I get into some of the PR stuff. Henry Cavill, in between the season one interviews and the season two interviews, something shifted and he started playing a PR game. And kudos to him and his team because they played it very well. If you look at the interviews from season one, he's very like open and like, you know, talks positively about everybody. And then suddenly season two rolls around. And I don't know if you remember this, Tim, but I talked about this on one of our previous episodes where he started doing these interviews where he's like, well, it was really important to me that we follow the books. I fought for us to be closer to the books. I wanted Geralt to be closer to the books. I'm a lore loyalist. I'm a fan like all the fans. This is, you know, this was important to me. And I felt like he was really, I didn't understand why he was doing it at the time, right? I'm like, this seems really weird. It seems like he's throwing the creative team and the showrunner under the bus. Why would you do that? Especially when you know that there's this toxic history already with some of the fans. And I want to be clear, when I talk about fandom, I don't mean all of you guys. Some of you are wonderful and very sweet. And I'm also not saying you can't be critical. Like, that's totally a thing you can do as well. But there's a way to do that without being an asshole, yeah? So I'm talking specifically about like the really toxic people that are just really awful to the creative team. And I felt like he was kind of poking the bear, you know, he was stirring some shit. Mm-hmm. And now I look back on that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see why that was happening now. It's like a PR game. He's trying to, and I don't know if it's necessarily coming from a malicious place, but he's definitely deflecting the blame and the ire of the fans by putting it back on the creative team. And it worked. It worked so well because you have all these fans right now. They're like, oh, well, of course he had to leave because the mean showrunner isn't following the books. And what else could he do? Because he's a lore loyalist. And, you know, he cares so much about the source material that he couldn't stand that they, and it's like, ugh, guys, come on. Like, I'm not saying that that can't be part of it. Of course it can. And I'm not saying, like, if you're not happy in a job, by all means, leave that job. Like, you don't owe anybody anything in that regard. Like, do what's best for you. But the
when was he making these interviews? Sorry, not to
interrupt. Oh, no, no, it's fine. Interrupt my rant. It's cool. What,
no, I'm curious.
Season two. So during the season two promo, he was doing a lot of interviews. And there was one in particular that really stuck out with me where he was talking about Geralt and Geralt being more verbose in season two. And he was like, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but mm-hmm. you can look up the interviews on Hard to Find. He was talking about how he wanted Geralt to be more verbose in season two. That was something he fought really hard for, which I found very interesting because in season one, he was doing interviews where he was talking about how he as an actor made the choice to cut lines and would like grunt instead of doing the lines, so much so that his fellow actors were looking at him like, is he going to say the line? What's going on there? So like that was a clear acting choice he made in season one. And then suddenly we get to the promo in season two and he's like, oh, well, I wanted the character to be more verbose. And that was really important to me. And I fought for that. And I don't know, man. It's just like, it rubbed me the wrong way when it was happening. And now I look back on it and I'm like, I feel like they were playing a bit of dirty pool and they were setting up some PR elements in order to deflect blame for, you know, just the, not necessarily him planning on leaving, but the ire of the fans and trying, he knew that the fans weren't like happy and was trying to push it off on other people. And that's just the vibe I got from it. And I could be completely off base and maybe he didn't mean it that way at all, but it really bugged me.
Well, here's what I say in response to that I think supports what you're saying, which is, this is why I asked when he was doing these interviews.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought, yeah, during season two, he, you know, he's shot a whole additional season since then. So if this was such a big problem after season two, like why would he sign on to season three? Now, I don't know. Maybe you know whether he signed a three season, like he was committed to do season three.
So there are people online that claim sources have told them that he signed a short-term contract, but like, and I mean, no offense to anybody. There are some like great, like, especially our friends at Redanian Intelligence do some great reporting, but never trust an anonymous source. You know, I work for a media company and there was an article in Hollywood Reporter not too long ago about our company and they said, sources say, and it was total bullshit. Like nothing, it wasn't correct at all. And
you
I'm not saying that they can't
take that
be right.
With some serious
but yeah,
salt.
You got, if, yeah. If a source is anonymous, you don't know who it is. It could be like the friend of the sister of the production assistant. You know, it could be anybody. So just take it with a grain of salt. Like don't cite it as, you know, the be all end all source of information.
Yeah. And so I think like, you kind of have to look at like what's being said and what's being done. You know, if he, and I think your point on wanting to kind of, you know,
like distance himself.
Well, and let the fans know like, okay, yeah, I agree with you on this.
Yeah.
But there's one thing like letting the fans know that, I mean, there's like telling the fans what they want to hear,
right.
But there also is, you know, maybe he really did think about it and he really did think this is important to me and he did push for it and maybe it's all, you know, true. Then he's giving the fans, he's not only telling the fans what they want to hear, he's giving the fans what they want. But you know, like there's that. And then there's like telling the fans that I'm not happy. I agree with you.
Yeah.
This isn't going in the right direction. And if it doesn't change, I'm going to walk. Well, you know, you're telling that, and then you shot a whole other season before you walked. Like something there doesn't smell right to me if that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit, ultimately, we won't know.
Yeah.
A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit of, you know, option A, a little bit of option B. Like, you know, I think, you know, the truth is usually more complex than that. But the idea that it's just he left just because of creative differences, just because he wants to stay faithful and, you know, completely like, you know, in line with Sapkowski's novels. That's just not how things are done in Hollywood.
Thank you for saying that, because I want to alley-oop off of that. Like, I work in a creative field. I'm not an actor, but I do work in like television production. And you know going into it that it is very much a team sport, right? Like, you might have ideas that you want to do, and sometimes your ideas make it to the end, and sometimes the people in charge are like, no, that's not the direction I want to go in. And you're aware that that's the deal. And you go into it like trying to do your best job, bringing your experience and your talent to it while still circumnavigating like the various obstacles in your way. Like, that's part of it. So again, I also find the creative differences thing a little weird, because like you have creative differences. Like, that's part of the gig. And also, like, The Witcher seems like a pretty sweet gig. It seems like a pretty sweet deal, right? Like, I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying like all television movies are hard to make. They're time consuming.
Yeah.
You don't have much of a life. Sometimes there's a lot of physical demands on you as well.
I mean, but he starves himself.
Oh, that's his fault. Like, I don't think anybody on that show has asked him to do that. I think that's all him.
Yes. He probably gets quite pruny in the bathtub.
Yeah. Man, that's the worst part of filming The Witcher.
He did it for you, Valerie.
He did it for me. Well, you don't have to, because I don't need you to do that. But my point is that, like, it's 8 episodes a season, and they film, like, every other year, and it's an ensemble piece, so you're not even, like, in every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I find the idea of, like,
and they
just
still
leaving your plush job because of creative differences. And, like, I'm not, shockingly, I'm not Henry Cavill. What? So I'm approaching this from a very Valerie perspective. And clearly he has a different perspective than me. He's lived a different life. He's a different person. But for me, like, the idea of, like, leaving a job that's paying you $1 million an episode, like, yeah, I'll sacrifice my body and do all this shit for 6 months. Give me that $8 million, man. Sign me up. I'll be The Witcher. We don't need Liam Hemsworth. I can do it.
Well, and then, you know, the other reality is, and this is the stuff you kind of have to think about when you're like trying to piece together what happened or what might have happened, is what else did he have going on in his career at the time?
Leads us nicely into theory number two, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Theory number two is that he left because of other projects, either not yet announced or maybe Superman.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Henry Cavill, I think has, and again, you know, this is me getting into the realm of sort of speculation and hearsay.
We are speculating on everything.
Yeah.
We're going to keep saying that.
But, like, it feels like his actions have kind of borne this out. Seems to be very much interested in film and being a movie star.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he probably thought his career was made when he was cast as Superman in Man of Steel. Now, this was like over 10 years ago. Since then, he's done a few films where he had lead roles that, you know, either weren't very good or were good and didn't do very well. And he had a really memorable role in one that was unequivocal hit, which was that Mission Impossible that he did.
Yeah.
And yet, in spite of all that, like, after that, he really had nothing. And
he's
then,
like Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I very much enjoyed, but wasn't a critical success.
Yeah, and I think Mission Impossible came after that.
Yeah.
And Mission Impossible was a big hit. You know, I don't know. You could make jokes as to whether, you know, Tom, like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, whether his character got completely killed off the way that it did because, you know, Tom Cruise just didn't want to work with him anymore. but, like, it's, you know, yeah, he wasn't going to continue in that franchise. But the fact that even with that success and even with, you know, being Superman, his career kind of, for a while, was going nowhere other than on Netflix with The Witcher and with Enola Holmes, says something, you know, which is like, all right, he wanted to be in film. And for one reason or another, it wasn't happening for him. He came to Netflix. Netflix backed him in a big way. And now it really seems like he's turning his back on Netflix. And I'm not saying he shouldn't, you know, I'm not making a judgment as to this is right or this is wrong, but it really does feel like he's like, okay, you know, there's rumors about me playing Bond, although he's denied it, that he said that's not
going to
happen.
There's all sorts of rumors. I don't think he's going to get it. I think he's too old.
Yeah.
I say this as someone who's like a year older than him. Yeah. I think they're going to go for someone in their 30s.
I don't think he's too old, but I think he's all but said it's not happening. There's certainly, you know, he said he's going to be doing more Superman. And then I don't think this is going to happen if he's going to be doing more Superman, but there certainly was rumors about him joining the MCU as well. So suddenly, like, you know, the big film franchises are buzzing again. And now is when he announces he's leaving The Witcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, like, you know, to me, it just feels a lot more likely that the number one motivating factor was just career and what he can make, you know, dollars and cents, you know, the big payout. And I think, you know, this just seems like, to him, is probably what makes more sense for his career right now. Mm-hmm. You know, which again is speculation. We don't know, but frankly, just what I know of how Hollywood works, you know, what motivates actors, what motivates their agents and representation, who really drives their careers, is, you know, like how much can you profit off of this? What are you going to get from
and
this?
And while, you know, I fully acknowledge I'm approaching it from a very Midwestern, I don't have a lot of money, guys, point of view, $8 million is a shit ton of money to me. But what, did he make like $30 million or something? Didn't he make some crazy amount of money for Superman? So
I don't
know.
You can
do like one movie and get a ton of money versus...
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, playing the lead in a Superman franchise or any superhero franchise... especially if it can be a success, you know, you can make a lot of demands. I mean, I have no idea what like Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. Were making for those last, you know, movies as Captain America and, you know, and Iron Man. But I'm sure like, I mean.
And like a back end deal and all that.
Yeah. Like, but like at that point, it's like they were those roles and, you know, I'm sure it was everyone was happy with the agreements that were reached, but they had to be making bank, you know? Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know that Henry Cavill has earned that as Superman yet.
Yeah.
None of his films with, you know, where he was Superman have been that level of success. Mm-hmm. But I think he's in a position where possibly if he came back with a new director, but him in the role, it could really be successful.
And I feel like James Gunn is the new helm of, you know, DC.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. So.
Although this happened before he was announced as
but I feel more confident with James Gunn at the helm that it would actually be a successful, interesting story.
Yeah.
You know my feelings about the Superman movies. We don't need to rehash them here.
Tamika, everyone talks about James Gunn. He's one of the two people leading. You know, Peter Safran
Peter.
Like they could decide, you know what, we want a new Superman.
Yeah.
Like it's within their ability to do that.
Yeah. So. And I do like, again, Midwestern sensibilities, guys, but the thesis of this podcast for me is don't shit where you eat. There's a lot of shitting where you eat right now, if you'll pardon the very colorful phrase. But I feel like this could potentially, if this is why he left, could be a bad move. It's quite a gamble. And like, if he ever decides he wants to do TV again, or if he ever decides he wants to do Netflix again.
Yeah, anything for Netflix
again. And he left, and he kind of left them high and dry halfway through their show. It's like
halfway through the show and right before Enola Holmes 2 drops on the service.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that, man. Uh-huh. Enola Holmes. So this announcement came out like right before, like the literally 24 hours after the Enola Holmes premiere, totally torpedoed any like press or, you know, buzz that Enola Holmes had.
Yeah.
Which makes me, you know what, we'll get into this in a sec. I want to come back to this. Put a pin in it. I want to finish my one thought and then come right back. So anyway, I was just saying that like it's a bad move from a... It, you know, from a coworker perspective, like if I'm a showrunner, like what's my show, Tim? What fictitious show am I showrunning?
I mean, for you, it'd be someone with like hot, you know, guy on guy action.
Hot guy on guy action, the new Netflix show, right? Yeah. So I'm the showrunner of hot guy on guy action. And Henry Cavill wants to be in hot guy on guy action. Uh-oh. I, as a showrunner, I'm going to be like, okay, well, I saw how you kind of left The Witcher, and I saw how fandom was like blaming the showrunner and got this petition going where they're trying to get the showrunner and the writers fired. And like, I don't know if I want to work with that guy. I don't know if I trust that guy. I don't know if that guy's dependable. Like, is he going to bail as soon as something better comes along? And I want to be clear, again, speculation. This is just a reaction based on theory number two, if he left for other work. But well, yeah, like it to me, it's like, it's kind of, I would be suspicious about hiring him unless I had an ironclad contract in place saying he needed to do like the next 50 seasons of hot guy on guy action.
Well, and that's the thing. I guess that's what, you know, going forward, one thing that, you know, will be interesting in that anyone who is curious about this and caught up in this whole story and wants to know maybe why this happened should like pay attention to what happens going forward with his career.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Because, you know, it does, like, again, we don't know, but it does feel like this had to have burned some bridges over at Netflix. And you know, and so if they were inclined to, like, maybe give him his own film franchise or let him produce his own show, you know, creatively, that he could, like, they might have been willing to do that, you know, because of, like, all the stuff he'd done for them. But now, you know, those options are out. And let's see what happens with him in Hollywood, as far as films go, you know, maybe he'll make a big announcement, whether it's Superman, or whether Bond, or whether it's something entirely different. I know he did they have announced like
a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah. A Guy Ritchie movie that he's involved with. So he will have other
films.
The
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see, like, presumably that will come out in the next couple of years and let's see what else happens. If he announces a bunch of big kind of high profile blockbuster roles and franchise things that like will make him a big leading man, you know, then all right, maybe this worked out for him. But I do wonder if he maybe, just kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
James and now gone, it's, no.
And now it's going to come back and, you know, bite him a bit in the ass. We'll have to see.
Okay, now what were you talking about before? I was like, let's put a pin in that and come back to it. And it's totally fallen out of my head. What was that topic, Tim?
Well, I was asking about Enola Holmes.
Enola Holmes, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So that kind of transitions me into theory number three.
I actually have a much more important question.
Yes, what is your question?
Who is his co-star in Hot Guy on Guy Action? And if
I'm not hiring him.
And if it
I'm a fictitious showrunner, and I'm
Well, what if it was him and Liam's Hemsworth?
That would be hilarious.
What if it was him and Liam Hemsworth?
And they're both in the Geralt wig, and it's two dueling Geralts. You've sold
in
me.
The bone.
Yeah,
cave.
Right. Okay, perfect. Let's do it. Cut. Print.
I would think it would have been just him and Joey Beatty. It would have been your
chance to make Witcher fan fiction a reality.
To make Gareth happen without having to say fucking Gareth.
Or Joey Beatty and Liam Hemsworth cucking
Cavill. We'll get into that in a later segment, Sean. Stay tuned. Teaser.
Oh, no, let's forget the rest of this episode. Let's
just talk about hot guy action. Okay, action, the hot new show. Netflix, call me. I'm available. I will lean into all of the fanfic tropes. It'll be great. They'll be like, oh no, there was only one bed. And oh no, they were roommates and enemies to lovers.
And I
someone owns a flower shop, it'll be great.
And Guy and Guy action is filmed before a live studio audience.
And I will, you know, meanwhile, while Valerie's off show running hot Guy on Guy action, I will make a new podcast, you know.
You're going to be a writer on it, Sam. What are you talking about? No, I'm hiring both of you.
Well, okay. We can write on it. We can still record a podcast.
And we can do a behind the scenes like they do on HBO for all the Game of Thrones.
It'll have to, what would be good alcohol to pair with Guy on Guy action?
Though? I was just thinking about that, and grog is the first thing that came up.
Grog and Guy on Guy.
I was trying to think of another hard G. Because the G brought me to gin, but that doesn't work because it's a soft G.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Grappa?
Oh, grappa. Beautiful. Guy way to be a better Italian than me.
Guy on grappa.
Hey, man, believe it or not, I'm half, but don't look at Eastern European genes. We're like, ha-ha!
I'll bet you there's not a lot of grappa podcasts out there either compared to whiskey. There's so many whiskey podcasts, but I'll bet you grappa.
I don't even think I like grappa. Anyway.
then maybe you're not a better Italian. Right?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Was your grandfather offered a position in the mafia? I'm just saying. Anyway. We'll get into that later.
That's another podcast.
That's a completely different podcast. What were we talking about?
Enola Holmes.
Enola Holmes.
I wasn't going to interrupt you without bringing you back.
Okay, so theory three is that something went down behind the scenes and he was let go. Hollywood Reporter, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, not Deadline. I don't want to scroll through my notes, guys. It's all speculation. We don't have to have facts. One of those two magazines had reported that the rest of the cast had renewed their contracts going into season four. So there's a possibility that maybe Netflix didn't renew his contract. There's a possibility that, like, I don't know, something went down. Again, don't want to speculate. We don't really know. But it is a possibility. And the reason I say that, and this is the Enola Holmes of it all, the release of the Instagram posts from him, Liam Hemsworth, and Netflix were so weirdly timed to do it right on the back end. Like, Enola Holmes had just had a big premiere. They spent all this money on doing this press junket, you know, all these marketing campaigns, all these cute little behind the scenes videos that have been released throughout the, you know, the course of the movie coming out. And it just all got blown out of the water less than 24 hours later by the Switcher news. To me, that indicates that, like, something went on behind the scenes and that somebody either was going to leak something, maybe, or something was a surprise to somebody and they needed to get it out and get ahead of it. I don't know. But I just find the timing of it very suspicious. If I were in the Netflix marketing department, I would be super pissed that, like, Enola Holmes got totally buried by this.
Yeah, the timing is very weird, and certainly something had to have prompted why they went out with it when they did. That was, you know, something that, like, because it was obviously was not ideal timing whatsoever. But I don't know. I question the whole getting fired one, two. I did mention
to you. I question all of them.
I mean, I did mention to you, and I do feel pretty strongly about this while we were texting that, like, sometimes the whole idea of, like, you know, do you quit? Did you get fired? Can be sort of a subjective thing, you know? Like, it could be a mutual party, right, and both of them will, you know, the employer will say, well, I fired him. And the person who, you know, is getting let go could say, I quit.
Yeah.
And I do think that can happen sometimes. But, you know, the fact that he has, you know, he did release that statement, release that tweet, and really spoke up Liam Hemsworth, and the role, and we'll have to see what role he takes in kind of promoting season three.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would have him in anything because, like, if you, like, you're everyone's going to show, everyone's going to ask about it. Yeah,
but, you know, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know, like. You're right. Like, it's like, I don't think he's going to take the lead role in promoting season three. But I also would be very surprised if he's not.
I don't know how you do it, because, like, you're leaving the show. So unless some sort of statement about why you're leaving the show, people are going to be like, well, why are you promoting, you know, why am I going to watch the thing if the lead actor is leaving the show? You know, like, why would I want to, just from a promotional standpoint?
Well, I mean, he'd be the best person to answer that question.
Well, and speaking of that, so what was your reaction to his post? Because I'm going to be real. I found it kind of lacking.
Oh, really? I thought it was great. I thought, like when he was talking about there are depths to be mined in this character or something. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like that.
I have it
like
written down if you want me to read it.
Yeah, read it.
Okay. So it says, some news to share from the continent. My journey as Geralt of Rivia has been filled with both monsters and adventures, and alas, I will be laying down my medallion and my swords for season four. In my stead, the fantastic Mr. Liam Hemsworth will be taking up the mantle of the White Wolf. As with the greatest of literary characters, I pass the torch with reverence for the time spent embodying Geralt and enthusiasm to see Liam's take on this most fascinating and nuanced of men. Liam, good sir, this character has been such a wonderful, this character has such a wonderful depth to him. Enjoy diving in and seeing what you can find.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what else you would expect. Oh, I think that's a great announcement.
I think it's really nice to Liam.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think.
And to the character.
Yeah, to the character. But I think, and I'm approaching this like from the toxic fan standpoint, I think he could have said a little bit more talking up the people that worked on the show, specifically the showrunner and the, you know, even if you're, for whatever reason, like mad at them, you're leaving for reasons. I don't know. I feel like you.
Maybe. I mean, eventually it just gets to be
where. You know you're
going to
have these toxic fans that are like attacking them, which they are. There's so many people attacking the showrunner and the writers right now. And I feel like you could have mitigated that a little bit by just saying like one nice thing or calling out the cast or the crew who like worked their asses off during a global pandemic to make this show happen. I don't know. I just felt like it was. I wish they had done more with it.
See, I'm going to push back on that.
That's
a little
fine.
Bit
no, please do.
Because, like, I do. I understand what you're saying, and if they had not announced Liam at the same time, yeah. There's a good argument to be made for why did you announce Liam at the same time? Because, like, I've heard some people say that they just. You know, they should have distanced that. And there's maybe a good argument to be made for that. And we could talk about that. But for whatever reason, they did decide to announce Liam at the same time. You have to, like, I think what he's doing is he is really using his message, his departing message to, as best as he can, support him and to try to get the fans to accept him. A lot of them are not.
Right.
But I don't think you can blame Henry for that. Like,
no,
you know,
no, I think he did. I think that part of it's good, but
and you know, the way he's like, I pass the torch with reverence and there's depth to be, like, he's talking about like the message I get from that is like, this is such a great character and you are so, you know, well suited to, like, you know, bring this out and to embody him and to take this torch from me. And I look forward to seeing what you do with it. I mean, that's not what he said, but that's
kind of me
reading between the lines of what he did say. And I feel like, you know, he was trying to kind of, you know, help with that transition. I think if you then throw in what you're saying, it all just becomes like a big sort of, you know, it's like those Oscar acceptance speeches that go on too long, where it's like, and thank you, I'd like to thank the crew and the caterer and the, you know, the
you should always
and
thank the caterer,
like,
guys.
I mean, like, it's like, yes, all these people work hard. They all deserve, you know, credit. But it's just like, you know, in these sort of little things and this kind of short attention span or short time, you know, little bit of space you have, like, you can only say one or two things and have them make impact. And I don't know. I feel like what he said made impact. I thought his message, you know, really seemed gracious, you know, with regards to how he views Geralt and how he views Liam Hemsworth. And I don't know, to me that worked. That said, I don't know why he's been so quiet since then. And I do feel like it would be nice if he did speak up.
I think that's what I'm reacting to. And I fully admit that I'm very sensitive to this, like, as a woman. And I see all these people that are like supporting the guy and tearing down the female showrunner and tearing down the female women of color that are the sorceresses. And people are giving like Anya crap because Anya, who plays Yennefer, like welcomed Liam but didn't say anything to Henry. And now everybody's like, oh, what's, you know, what's going on there? And they're like dragging her, which they've done before because she's a woman of color playing Yennefer, you know? So there's been a lot of toxicity in the fandom that I can't think that he's unaware of at this point,
yeah,
you know? And the
yes,
fact that he,
true.
I feel like, you know, he's done his, to channel a line from The Witcher, I feel like he's done some shit shoveling as well.
Oh, true. Totally.
And I feel like this is the time to maybe say something to try and mitigate that. And of course, you're not going to be able to, there's always going to be toxic people. It's not, you know, you're not going to be able to get rid of all of them. But I feel like adding something, a sentence or two in there about, like, you know, thank you so much to the cast and the crew for all their hard work. You know, thank you. Thank the writing team. Thank the showrunner. And say something to the effect of, like, even though I'm no longer going to be traveling the continent with you all, I look forward to watching the show and seeing the stories that you tell as a fan. You know, something along those lines, I think, would be a nice little...
He should.
Yeah.
But it doesn't benefit him to do it.
No, and I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. It totally doesn't benefit him. I think
and that's why he hasn't done it.
Yeah, there's a disconnect between, like, doing things because you should versus doing things because, like, well, there's no point in me, you know, it doesn't help me in any way.
And I feel like there's a bit of a history. And you know what? I'm not going to judge. Maybe that's, you know, how you have to play the game in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's a brutal, you know, town, like cutthroat, you know, you got to kind of do what you need to do to survive. But you know, the idea, I guess, you know, it just gets to where I'm probably pushing back most on is this idea that he did any of this out of some sort of sense of like, oh, you know, we must respect the material and they're not respecting the material.
And that's funny because that seems to be like the narrative that the people are pushing the most. And I think a lot of it is because people have preconceived notions about the show and it fits their narrative. You know, if you have somebody saying like, you know, do you want to talk about the Beau DeMaio interview at all? Or
it's up to you.
Beau DeMaio was a writer on season 2. And Beau, if you want to be on the show, you are welcome anytime.
He's a writer,
man.
On season 1.
Was season 1 as well. Yeah. He did Nightmare of the Wolf most recently,
which
and
I thought was
the Eskel episode. So season 2, episode 2.
Wait, he did the Eskel episode?
Mm-hmm, he did the Eskel episode.
And people are actually like taking what he says with any real weight.
Yeah. So he has now moved on to another show, X-Men 97. And like, I want to be clear.
He also worked on Star Trek, Strange New Worlds.
Nice, yeah. And I, you know, I mean, no ill will to Mr. DeMaio. I'm just reacting to his words. I, you know, I don't want to speculate as to the reasoning behind them or anything like that. Again, Beau, you're welcome on the podcast anytime. But he was doing an Instagram live Q&A about his new show, X-Men 97. And he made some comments about The Witcher that weren't particularly flattering. He said, I've been on a show, namely Witcher, where some of the writers were not or actively dislike the books and games. And the not is referring to like being a fan. So he's saying some of the writers were not a fan or actively dislike the books and games, even actively mocking the source material. It's a recipe for disaster and bad for morale. Fandom as a litmus test checks egos and makes all the long nights worth it. You have to respect the work before you're allowed to add to its legacy. So he made this statement and fandom, as fandom does, glomped onto it, and they're using it as like the be-all end-all example of the writers don't like the source material, the writers are making fun of the books and the games. Okay, two things about that. One, the writers don't have, the games are not part of the Witcher Netflix IP, so it doesn't matter like anybody's feelings about the games, they're not using them for anything. They might like do a cheeky reference once in a while to them, but they're not part of what they can work off of.
Well, actually, and I would argue Lauren seems to be more She's trying to kind of nod to them more often than I would have expected.
Yeah,
you know, like she's mentioned them quite a few times. She's made The Wild Hunt a big,
you know,
seemingly to be a bigger
and
part of
her
story.
And they
are
in the books, but barely.
Not as much as they were in
barely.
Season
2. Oh, yeah, barely. It's like
a
one-off,
And by all indication, it seems like we're going to be seeing them in the future.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I think she's nodded towards them a lot.
Yeah, and I also want to say that, like, we make fun of the books all the time on this show. Yeah. Like, the books aren't some holy grail, man. The books, there are great moments in the books, and there are some really weird moments in the books. I don't know. I question the idea of, like, that they're always making fun of the books, which is how people seem to be interpreting it. And also, again, what is my thesis for this episode? Don't shit where you eat. I don't know why you would, like, I don't know, publicly make a statement, like, again, throwing a former employer under the bus. Like, that seems kind of weird to me.
Well, what I would say to the fandom is, you know, I guess this is my thesis for the episode, what I said earlier on. We don't know anything.
All right,
here's what we do know. We know a couple things, actually. So,
and there's one other thing I can say about that, too, but you go first.
We know that Beau DeMaio is no longer on the writing staff of The Witcher, so we know that.
And there was a former writer, or a current writer, Matt, I think Matt's last name is D'Ambrosio. I apologize, I'm not looking at my notes, but he had did a now-deleted Twitter thread where he basically said that Beau was fired for being toxic. And now, again, this is very he said, we don't know. We're not in the writer's room. We can't speak to it. If either of you guys want to be on the podcast and clear things up, you are welcome. We will get drunk with you.
But we don't know anything. We just, you know, we saw these tweets. The reality, the truth is probably somewhere
in the middle, as it always is.
One way or the other. We do know Beau is not working on The Witcher anymore. Yeah. We don't know what, you know, like we have one tweet saying that he was fired. We don't, you know, and that he was like a bully or something like that. But we don't really know, you know, we have, like I said, it's he said, he said. So, but what we do know is it's like, all right, someone talking about The Witcher writing room who is not on the series anymore, who, you know, for whatever reason left before the series ended. And, you know, I don't know, like he might have, you know, he maybe is speaking the truth. He might have reason also to, you know, kind of say that. And he probably, I don't know that most of the time, like as someone who records a podcast, especially a podcast while we're drinking.
Sometimes you say stuff and you're like, you say shit.
You're like, oh, wait, that's not how I should have said that. You know, hopefully people don't, you know, pay attention to that. Like a lot of this cuff, off the cuff stuff is not, it's not meant to be taken as gospel. And,
right.
You know.
And unfortunately, that's how fandom is interpreting it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but he said blah, blah, blah. And I do
it's
find
it. One writer.
Yeah,
one,
it's
writer
one writer who's
saying out of a whole writer
but
team.
But it supports people's confirmation bias. So they're like lumping onto it. And, you know, I think it's interesting that people, critical thinking is dead on the internet, guys. Like nobody takes 2 seconds to be like, okay, but why is this person saying this? What might be going on behind this? And also people are so quick to be like, oh, well, he said that they are, they're not following canon, blah, blah, blah. When he didn't follow canon either. Like he did his own thing too.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Nightmare of the Wolf is like that shit insane.
Yeah. And we enjoyed it. Don't get us wrong. Like Tim and I aren't purists for canon. No, so like if you do something fun, whatever. But
yeah,
the fact that people are like saying, oh, well, he said that the writers don't respect canon when like, you know,
Eskel.
Yeah, Eskel. Tree Eskel. Okay.
I don't know. So it's just, it's like, I think, you know, I mean, we don't know. We're speculating. We're talking about, I think we're pushing back a little bit on the kind of the popular narrative.
I think it just all comes down to like, use your brains a little bit. Like, think about why people might be saying things. Think about the reasoning behind things and think about the fact that nothing's actually confirmed, you know, like we don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just get really sad when people are so quick to like vilify the writing team and the creative team and the showrunners and act like they don't know what they're doing. Like we definitely, Tim and I on this very podcast, guys, have criticized decisions that have been made, particularly in season 2. But at the end of the day, like we still enjoy the show. We like, obviously we're doing a podcast about it.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it just makes me sad that there's this petition and they're calling for like, oh, the writer should be fired and Lauren should be fired and they don't know what they're doing and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, I don't know. It's a bummer.
I mean, and I don't understand. Honestly, I frankly don't understand what they think they're going to accomplish. Like, at this point,
I think they're just getting their rage out. You know, it's just like making a point.
At this point, the show is what it is. You don't have to like it. But it is what it is. You're not going to get a new showrunner who's suddenly going to make this super faithful. It's already gone, you know,
doing its own thing.
To use one of our segments, it's already gone so far off the path that it's, you know, you can't make it completely adhere to what happened in the books. So it is what it is. And, you know, I get that, like these characters matter. People love these characters. They love this world. I get that it's important to people. And, you know, and I talk a lot about entertainment. My whole day job is writing about entertainment because it, you know, it is important, especially when things are pretty crap out there.
Yeah, it's a nice escape.
So I get that, you know, but like, you got to realize there's a business there and all the people who produce this show are really, you know, like when it really gets down to it, it's all about, you know, is it profitable? Mm-hmm. That's why Netflix is keeping Witcher going.
Yeah.
They view it as profitable. And ultimately, like more than anything else, Henry's reason for not doing season 4 has to do with like what's best for him and his career and, you know, whether it's he definitely has lined up a paycheck that's going to pay more, or whether he's like, all right, you know what? Like, it's just at this point in my career, I think doing a streaming show is going to hold me back. I want to do movies. I want to do that. It's, you know, that is going to motivate him more than anything else. That's what motivates actors. That's what motivates writers and directors and producers and all these executives. It's all about like, you know, what's best for them and telling the story. I'm not going to say it's secondary. It's also important.
Yeah.
But like, you know, The story will continue being told as it was going to be told.
One other, sir, I'm laughing because Susan just made some noise and it was funny. And you're not laughing at Tim's beautiful point. But another thing, like we didn't talk about, maybe he just needs a break. Maybe he needs like a mental health break. Maybe it's been a lot and he just wants to take a break.
Maybe
and,
he
like,
just wants to drink eat some
water. Yeah, drink some water, eat some pasta, man. Yeah. He's like, fuck this. I'm done. I want carbs. That's the real reason, guys. We've uncovered it.
Yeah.
We've cracked the case.
Who was the, you tell me the story a lot. Who was the actor?
Alexander Skarsgård did that Tarzan movie that unfortunately, sorry, Alexander, no one saw. But he got super ripped for it.
I have the Blu-ray.
Do you really?
I haven't seen it.
So Sean's we should watch it.
But he's like bonus super ripped in it. And I saw an interview with him where he was talking about one day his trainer took him to an Italian restaurant. His trainer was like, you can eat, we can order whatever you want. And he cried because he hadn't had carbs in so long. He wept over a plate of pasta. And I don't want to live that life. And I don't blame Henry Cavill if he doesn't want to live that life either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Would you to make $8 million in 6 months?
Oh, I would totally do it for $8 million in 6 months. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I have a trainer and like a dietitian. And if I don't have to make the food.
After, I don't know, a few years of making $8 million, over 6 months, Valerie would have like, you know, 16, maybe $24 million.
And she'd then like, I could buy a house like, in LA.
She's like, I don't need to fucking do this anymore. Yeah. I got enough money. Exactly. I can eat pasta.
I'm done. I'm out. Yeah. Solved it. I apologize, Henry Cavill. I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just did it for the pasta. Well, Tim, I think we have speculated mightily.
Yeah, speculation is our superpower for sure.
And again, just want to say, like, this is all speculation. We have no inside track.
No.
Nobody knows anything.
Nothing.
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 No. I don't even know, you know, like where I'm spending most nights. Like,
well, that sounds like a personal problem that we don't have time to get into on this podcast. So, but you know what we do have time to get into? So what do you think of Liam Hemsworth as the new Geralt? What are your reactions to that?
So, like I told you at the very start of this podcast that when I found out, my initial reaction was like, huh, okay, all right, I'm good with that. So I take that to mean like, I don't have a real problem with it.
Yeah.
Since the announcement broke, since we found out about this, and as things have kind of developed, I've looked a little bit, you know, while I both thought about like, and kind of like, you know, I had to kind of go through my sort of memory of like, what have I seen Liam Hemsworth in? What has he done? And I've thought a bit about it. And you know, a few things like one, everyone knows him from the Hunger Games
movies.
Yeah,
that's where I know him from.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I don't know why people feel the need to shit on those movies. I like those movies. Yeah. I liked him in it. He wasn't my favorite character, but I thought he was fine in the role, and it was very true to the role as written in the books.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It was a fine sort of first role to see him in. Since then, I think the only other movie that comes to mind that I saw him in is he was in one of the Expendables movies. Mm. And I saw all those.
He goes out like a chump pretty early in Expendables 2.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I see. You remember better than I do. I remember he was in one of them. And,
he's in some romantic movies, but I've not seen them.
Yeah.
Like some Nicholas Sparks movies or something like that.
Yeah. By the way, Susie's drinking, so we need
Susie's
a drink.
Susie's going to town, so we're going to drink too.
Yeah. He was in a Nicholas Sparks movie? Really?
I might be making that up, guys. I'm a few glasses in. Keep talking to him. I'm going to consult Mr. Google.
Well, here's the thing. There seems to be a mindset of how Geralt should look physically. Like we've talked about, you and I talked about over text about how he is, and I've heard other people mention how he is in the books. And he's not as kind of beefcake and
I find that very interesting.
Like
yeah, the people that are so quick to be like,
Henry
Cavill's a Lord Loyalist and he only cares about the books and he wants to write for the books. Well, his body type isn't, you know, what's in the books, which is totally fine. Like, do your own thing, have your own interpretation. But if you're going to cite him as being like the be all end all authority on the books, he's not doing things that are 100%, you know, with the books.
Yeah. And I guess my thinking is, all right, so, you know, one, it's like, all right, he could end up looking a little bit differently, just kind of body type, obviously facially and all that, he's going to look different, but like body type build wise, he could look different than, Henry Cavill did in the role. That does not mean, One, I don't feel like that means that he's going to be less authentic. The other thing is, I'm not convinced he's going to look all that different than Henry Cavill did in the role.
No.
Like, we haven't seen Liam really bulk up. That does not mean he is incapable of it. We've certainly seen his brother bulk up.
I hope he doesn't bulk up, though.
I mean,
I hope he, like, doesn't do that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I want him to be more in line with, like, Book Girl. If people are complaining about that they're not matching the books, let's see him be a little more wiry and a little more, you know.
Yeah, but I think I've seen a lot of people say, all right, the Netflix Geralt is already established as kind of this bulky bodybuilder type. And I'm not convinced that Liam can't do that. Just because we haven't seen him do that doesn't mean he can't. He certainly has plenty of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that his brother is capable of it.
Yeah.
You know, genetically, they shouldn't be too far off. So I'm not convinced that, you know, if that is something they want to do, if that's something he wants to do, if that's something that, you know, overall has decided creatively, it's like, yeah, we got to keep Geralt really bulked up. I'm not convinced that Liam can't do that. And so I don't know. I just feel like that criticism is just pointless. It's just stupid. You know, we don't know. We don't know that what he's going to look like in the role. We haven't seen him in the role. There's like a lot of bad memes of, bad, like sort of white wigs on
Photoshops.
Yeah. Bad Photoshop. It's like, you know, like, yeah, you can make anyone look ridiculous.
Also, like people didn't like Henry Cavill in the role initially. People were very critical of Henry Cavill in the role.
Well, his first kind of screen test
was not great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to kind of really make a white wig look natural.
Right,
and so, which is to say, I have no doubt they'll be able to do that with Liam Hemsworth. It's just like you throw a stupid, you know, bad Photoshop on him.
Yeah.
Of course, he's going to look ridiculous.
Right.
I just think, like, I've seen some people say they're going to reserve judgment, and I really feel like that's the right way to go. But I certainly have no reason to believe that he's incapable of being a good Geralt.
Yeah.
You know, like, Now, I think there's, you know, you could say, is he as big of a name as like Henry Cavill was? Maybe not.
I don't know. I think Henry Cavill is a big name within certain spheres.
Yeah.
I think within the geek, you know, superhero culture, he is. But I call it the boomer test, right? If I ask my boomer parents, do you know who Henry Cavill is? The answer is going to be no.
Well,
now, if I ask my boomer parents, do you know who The Rock is? Do you know who Sandra Bullock is? Do you know who Oprah is? Of course, the answer is yes. But
I
think he's very popular within certain spheres. And those might be, you know, you could argue that those are the spheres you want when you're promoting something like The Witcher.
Yeah.
The conjunction of the spheres.
The conjunction of the spheres. By the way, the last song Liam Hemsworth was in, it is a Nicholas Sparks movie.
The last movie?
The last song.
The last song is the name of the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were drunk, and instead of saying movie, you were saying song.
Last movie. No, not that drunk. Give me time.
Are you guys hearing this?
Yeah. Hey.
It's Liam. He's singing
the last song.
Does he sing in that movie?
I don't know. I've not seen it. It's not my type of movie.
I think now we need to watch
it. We have to
watch that.
Right after Tarzan.
Yeah, we have to watch that movie. We have to watch Tarzan.
Which Sean owns, but has not seen.
Yeah, because I think I would enjoy Tarzan. I think, like, I'm going to need a lot of whiskey to enjoy the last song.
Right.
I just think, you know, like, it's stupid to judge people by, or actors, like, their ability to, like, their capabilities as an actor based on the roles that they've done. I mean, there's, like tons of examples of actors totally changing kind of what, like, a movie I'm like a big fan of is Last of the Mohicans. Did you ever see that? Daniel Day-Lewis?
Guys, my film knowledge is so lacking because I was raised by very strict parents and I never got to watch anything.
All right, that as well. Let's add that to our movie marathon list.
All right.
Sean, you have to have seen The Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the director's, or I believe it was the extended cut that was released on Blu-ray a few years ago.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that either.
Yeah, but I have the original, though. Yeah, yeah. Michael Mann.
Yeah. But I remember at the time, it was like, it was Daniel Day-Lewis who, like, had won, you know, at least one Academy Award at that point, I think, for My Left Foot. And he still is known as, like, an actor's actor, like, for these dramatic roles. He's a phenomenal actor. But in this one role, he had to fucking buff up, you know? He had to, like, and, like, I can't imagine him doing a superhero role. Superhero movies weren't big at that time. But it's like, if, like, he had been cast as like some superhero, everyone would have said, like, he can't fucking do it. He can't do it. Well, clearly he can buff up.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, it's stupid to just assume just because someone hasn't really done that, that they're incapable of it. I mean, hell, like, even Hugh Jackman, like, is like, I think his heart is on the stage and kind of, you know, musical theater and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, he gets ripped as, like, Wolverine.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that's a stupid reason for not, you know, giving Liam a chance.
Logan, and like when he plays the spoilers for Logan, when he plays the young version of Logan, I was like, oh shit, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
No. Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. No, he definitely can't. Like, anyone can. Yeah. I even could.
You know? If you had, if like, that was your job, and people were paying you, and you had the best trainers, and you had a dietitian who was making food for you, and you didn't have to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody could.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so. That's a non-reason. Now, like, you know, we'll have to see how he does in the role. We'll have to see, you know, how he approaches it.
Do you hope he keeps the Australian accent?
I mean, I was saying in the audiobooks, Geralt has an Australian accent.
Does he really?
Yes! I don't know why the audiobook reader decided to give him one, but he does.
Canon, guys. You were all bitching about canon.
So instead of a count, we're going to have a might count?
Yeah, yeah, right?
But that's the thing I'm wondering. Like, will we have to retire our count?
Maybe. Who
you know? Is he going to stop hmming?
I don't know. Possibly. I think they got to throw it in there still, but...
I would like it if Henry Cavill, like, came back just to record the
they don't even need him to record them at this point. I'm sure they probably got a lot. Yeah. Like,
no, just like Vin Diesel, who treats every I am Groot as an original piece of material.
Well, I will say my initial reactions to it, at first I was like, he seems kind of young. But then I thought about it. I'm like, well, I think he's 32, 33. So he's definitely a contemporary of the other Witchers, Lambert and Cohen. Like, they're also around that age. So it makes sense from the point of view of the show.
That's actually a good thing for longevity.
Yeah.
So, like Henry Cavill is almost 40, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those people that are 40, man. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Ready for the grave, 40.
You were saying he can't, he's too old for James Bond.
Well, because Bond, I think they want to start a new franchise and they want somebody in their 30. Like, I think they want somebody
in their
30.
But Geralt isn't supposed
younger.
To age.
He's right, exactly. But, you know, like, as a dad, I initially was like, oh, I don't know if I buy Liam Hemsworth as a dad. But then I thought about it. I'm like, well, it is medieval times. And if you do the math, like, Pavetta, when she had Ciri, was 15.
He's in his 30s?
Liam Hemsworth is like 32, I think.
And you don't buy him as a dad?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm coming around on it, Tim. Let me make my point,
maybe a little bit too much info. I was a dad in my 20s.
No, but I mean, like, so at first I was like, well, he seems a little young to have like a teenage kid, but then I realized I was looking at it from a very modern perspective. And this is supposed to be medieval times. And like Pavetta, Ciri's birth mother, had her when she was 15. So if Pavetta were still alive, she would be 30. Mm. So it totally makes sense given the timeline, you know. That was my initial reaction, but then I thought about it for a minute and was like, no, it works. It does make sense.
Well, and he's not. Ciri is not biologically his daughter, you know?
I just got the vibe that I don't know. I felt like he was a little young for it, but then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, no, Valerie, you're just old. old and everyone seems like a baby.
And also, Geralt, it like lives like ridiculous lifespan. Like he may look like he's in his early 30s, but he's like, you know, well past 70,
exactly.
I think.
I think he's like almost 100 at this point in the timeline. Yeah,
so that's just like nonsense, you know?
No, yeah, and I definitely came around. I thought that was my initial reaction and was like, oh, well, let's think about it for a minute.
But I think it benefits the franchise, honestly, the property like long term, because it's like, all right, if they're hopefully, you know, season 4 isn't the end and they can do, you know, a few more like we want to get all the books.
Right.
And it's like we don't want Geralt looking visibly aged at the end because he shouldn't be. So I don't think that's an issue. I guess, you know, really when it comes to Liam, I want to see, you know, like I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to like see what he does. As someone who said at the start of this, if I was to pick like a Geralt that I kind of see as my definitive Geralt in my head, it's a game Geralt who's a lot more verbose than Henry Cavill Geralt. I don't know, you know, if they were to make kind of a little bit of a change, maybe make this Geralt, you know, the Liam Hemsworth Geralt a little bit more verbose, I wouldn't object to that. Use this as an opportunity to make some changes, kind of like they do with Bond.
I would like to see see some physical changes. I know I talked about the body type, and maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. But also just in terms of the character design, like, if, okay, I'm going to be very vague as to try not spoil anything for anybody who's not read the books, but like, if season three ends where I think it's going to end, I think it sets it up nicely for you to be able to make a change. Mm-hmm. So I think you could style him differently. You could have him in different armor. You could have a different look about him, and it would make sense based on the story. I also want to say I'm very interested to see what a new actor does with the part. You know, there are things Henry Cavill did that I really liked. I think he's a very interesting physical actor, and I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to see him. Again, don't want to spoil anything, guys, but there are things coming up that I'm like, oh, I really would have liked to see how Henry Cavill played that. So it's kind of a bummer that I'm not going to see that. But I also think it'll be interesting to see somebody who maybe has a little more emotional acting that might be able to like sell the bigger emotional moments in a way that I don't think they've been sold in the past. And maybe has a bit more. I'm trying not to shit on Henry Cavill. I wish him well. I very much enjoyed a lot of what he did in Witcher. But to see somebody who maybe has a little more chemistry with
some of the characters. That was what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you what you thought about like potential chemistry between Liam and some of the other.
I thought the chemistry felt very flat in season two, especially between Geralt and Yennefer. It just like wasn't there. But it was
definitely there in season one.
Yeah, I think they had more in season one, but they also weren't together that much in season one. I don't know. But like, I don't know. You watch Yennefer with Yaskir, and even you who are not a shipper, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I totally buy that. Or you watch Yennefer with Cahir. And I know like when we talked to Lucy from On the Path, she was like, I thought they were going to kiss it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like that chemistry is there with other characters.
Anya
but in season two, it just like the canon couple that are supposed to be these soulmates. It fell kind of flat for me.
It did.
And
no,
I'm wondering if like maybe we get somebody new in there, maybe it'll inject some like freshness into the story that might make it more interesting. So
I mean, I am a little like one dynamic I did really like was Henry Cavill and
Ciri.
Yeah, Ciri. Like I think like they were Freya and Henry had a good dynamic, and you know, I'm not saying that Liam can't match that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's see. But that's the one that I'm like, there was definitely a good sort of chemistry between those two performers. Also, you know, I think Joey and Henry had like kind of a good banter.
I didn't know about that.
This is one where I'm willing to put the criticism towards the writing
rather than the
performances. Because, you know, I feel like they did the best they had with what was written between the two of them.
No, that's fair.
You know, but the performances I think were there. They, you know, especially the episodes where they were friendlier or they were more like they did seem to have good banter together. When Geralt was supposed to be crankier and, you know, it's a good dynamic.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are good, but I agree with you about Henry and Anya in season two. Like it did seem like there was a little, it was just lacking.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because I think he does some stuff really well. I think he's a very physical actor. I think he does subtle stuff really, really well. I've talked about the Renfrey episode a bunch.
I think he does some awesome
acting in that Renfrey episode. But yeah, the season two stuff where he has to go big with the emotions is just kind of flat for me. And I'd be curious to see what somebody else does. But that said, I am really sad that we're not going to see him do like the, again, I like try not to spoil anything for anybody, but there's some stuff coming up that I think he would have been good at that I would have liked to have seen him do. And I'm sad that we don't get to see that.
And you're sure it's later than what would be in season three?
I think so. Based on how the book plays out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the break in the book is, but I would have liked to have seen him do some stuff, and we're not going to, and I'm sad about that. So,
well, maybe Liam will impress you. Do you think?
I think Liam will be interesting.
Do you think Liam will look good in a bath?
I think Liam is definitely going to look good in a bath. I don't think Liam's like a surfer boy. He's not shy about being shirtless. So I'm excited for more sexy time. Like the new Witcher. That'll be fun.
I mean, like I'll be honest. I think Liam is kind of if I was to pick, you know, physically how I could look, it'd be more like Liam than Henry, at least they look right now. Yeah. Cause Liam is like, he's in good shape without like being like way bulked up.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, I just think like, Yeah.
Which, not to speak on behalf of all people who occasionally sleep with men, but that's kind of what we prefer in general. Like, yeah. We don't need you to be, again, stop dehydrating yourself, everybody. Don't do it. But, yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't kick Henry out of bed, though.
I mean,
What? No, you would not. You're saying, I don't believe that for a second. If you had the chance to like hook it up with Henry, you totally would.
If I had a chance to hook it up with anybody in the Witcher cast, I totally would. It is a very attractive cast.
It is a stupidly attractive
cast. Stupidly attractive. Speaking of the stupidly attractive cast.
Stand by
cast.
For our next podcast, Valerie's top five hookups in the Witcher cast. Yeah.
Guys, I'm single. DM me. Anyway, speaking of the Witcher cast, though, like, what do you think this means for the cast? Do you think they're going to get additional seasons? Do you think 4 is going to be the last one? Like,
no, there's no reason to think 4 is going to be the last one. But like, I don't know why Netflix does what they do. I mean, certainly if like we don't get a huge drop off with season 4 with like viewers, I can't see why they would stop it. Whatever they're seeing, they seem to be pretty good on, because they keep approving or green lighting seasons before the season before it has even aired.
Well,
you know, they greenlit season 3 before season 2 had aired, and same with season 4.
I think something like fans on the internet don't necessarily understand is that the internet is not a be-all end-all representation of the world at large. Like, it's a microcosm, and it's definitely a representation of some things. But there are people all over the world that watch the show. And not all of them are on the internet. Not all of them are like passionate fans involved in the fandom. Some people are just like, yeah, I like this show. It's fun. Like, for example, I enjoy House of the Dragon. I watched all of House of the Dragon. I'm not on the message boards with my theories about House of the Dragon. Like, I don't care that much. I watched the show. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Cool. End of that, you know? Watch the next show. But it's, it's just, I think people sometimes get big mad on the internet and they don't realize that they're not the norm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's certainly the case. And so, I don't know. I as of right now, there's no reason to think that Witcher is ending with season 4. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I mean, something like this maybe could impact it. We'll see, and we'll see what they do. But as of right now, it seems like The Witcher, at least the core series, seems to be in really good shape at Netflix. I mean, they've, you know, like I said, they keep greenlighting seasons before the previous season has even aired. So they're seeing something that they like, and they keep doing other things. You know, they have the animated movie out now.
Yeah,
they have another one that they're working on.
They're doing like a kids series.
We've heard about this kids series. We'll see. Blood Origin. Like, so it's just like it's full speed ahead so far. So we just have to see what happens after season 4, but that's like a long way off.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing.
Summer.
We're not even going to get this season for years,
season
you know,
three
from now.
Is summer.
Yeah. I mean, like season
whatever
4.
Whatever summer means.
Yeah.
Is like, it May? Is it September? Nobody knows.
Like season 4 is probably going to be, what, 2024 at the earliest?
Right?
You know, like, yeah, guys, it's going to be a while before we're even going to be able to like kind of judge, you know, how good of a job Liam is doing. So, and that's the thing. I think like by that point, all of us will have fucking blown over.
Yeah.
You know,
I hope so.
Like, no, it will have. Yeah. Like maybe people will like, you know, be like, I'm not going to watch it. But like this vitriol, you know, it'll have blown over. Like at this point, you know, people will have seen. Oh, and the other thing the last point I wanted to make, I guess, before we kind of start winding down is, and I maybe should have made this earlier, is none of us, like, along with me saying none of us know anything, none of us have seen season 3.
Right.
For all we fucking know, season 3 may be the most faithful to the books of, like all the seasons so far. Yeah. It might be, like, the closest adhering to it.
Yeah.
So the idea that, like, whatever he saw in season 3 was the reason Henry left could prove to be total bullshit.
Right,
we don't even know that at this point.
Yeah.
So, like, let's like, even, you know, before we even, like, can
cast judgment.
Yeah, let's at least see the season that he's filmed that hasn't even aired yet. So, Valerie, one thing I think we have not mentioned at all is, but it's probably pretty obvious at this point, we have been drinking some whiskey here. it's a side quest.
Way.
Yeah, it is our way, but, you know, if this got a little heated at the end or a little rambly at the end, you know, I'm going to blame it on the whiskey. Producer Sean provided some good Elijah Craig for tonight.
You can just blame it on me directly.
And he's been very generous with it. You know, he's been keeping it flowing. What are we drinking, Sean? Like, what is this? Like,
Elijah? We are drinking Elijah Craig bourbon. Of which I have been a big fan since, I don't know, roughly 2008. Anyway, a Methodist priest recommended Elijah Craig to me on New Year's Eve in New Orleans sometime between 2007 and 2009.
Because the year is the most important detail in that story.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about that story.
Anno Domini. And that became my pouring bourbon.
I'm impressed that you were in New Orleans on New Year's Eve and you remembered that this guy was a Methodist priest.
Still a friend of mine, Matthew Bradley.
Does he listen to the podcast?
Very much. I don't know.
It's probably for the best that a priest does not listen to this podcast.
Probably. Maybe he's a Witcher fan.
Nah, he's cool.
He's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
he officiated a wedding at which I was the best man, and he felt bad that he did not work a "so say we all" into it. So, definitely nerd cred there.
I bet that franchise had a toxic fandom too, guys.
For certain.
But yeah, Elijah Craig, that has been my pouring bourbon for that long. That is when it goes in my old fashions every night.
This is a small batch, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So it's not their kind of standard whiskey. It's small batch, right?
No, it is. Goes like on their regular bottle. Although that is no longer their regular bottle.
Oh, this isn't?
It is not. Elijah Craig is one of the things that lives behind my bar in such a way that it is being constantly refilled enough that I buy it in handles. But those don't fit in my bar. So the handles live in my garage and the bottles that get refilled live in my bar. And I have hung on to the bottle that isn't put out anymore for Elijah Craig because I just like it better than what they put out now.
And it's 94 proof, so it's a little bit heavier than I was expecting. That's why I'm feeling it a bit.
Sorry about that.
Anyhow, just wanted to mention that in case you're wondering why we're talking so loopy at the end of this podcast. Although at this point, I think you know what happens here.
Yeah.
Also, a further reminder that we are fans of Elijah Craig's brand, even though the rye did not hit home for us.
The only one we've actually, I guess now we've had the bourbon as well, but the only one we've officially discussed was the rye, and not our favorite whiskey. Although we've definitely had worse.
Not the worst by a mile.
Yeah. No, for sure. I still ship.
Not even counting the flavored shit.
I still ship Elijah Craig and Evan Williams. Like, that's
all
still
right,
my.
Write that fanfic. AO3, baby.
That's still my, that's still my whiskey ship. You know, I have plenty of Witcher ships, but that's my whiskey ship.
I will absolutely gather around a typewriter with you, Tim. Let's Elijah do this.
And Evan Williams. Eventually this is going to happen. Maybe if you guys write us reviews, this will happen. You know what will happen is we'll take shots if you write us reviews.
We actually have a shot coming up in a future episode.
Next episode will probably have to happen.
We have a shot coming up, so stay tuned for that. But if you want us to do more shots, write us some reviews. And
I know. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed at how few of you are writing reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do, you got to make sure you let us know about it.
Yeah, tell us on social or email that you wrote the review so we know.
If you're in the United States and you write it on Apple, we'll see it, but I can't guarantee anything other than that. So, but I do thank you for everyone who's been rating us on Spotify because we have gotten some ratings there.
Thank you.
We don't do shots for that, but like we do very much appreciate it.
I mean, we will if you tell us you wrote them.
Well, they're ratings. They're not reviews.
Oh, they're ratings. They're not reviews. This is how much I use Spotify, guys.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm old.
One day maybe Spotify will allow reviews. But not now. Not now. Anyhow, next episode will probably be, we'll be back to the Hexer.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of, we wanted to get this side quest out as soon as possible. And Believe it or not, this was as soon as we could get it out.
Some of us decided to go out of town when giant Witcher news broke. Yeah. Oops, my bad. Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
And we're getting close to the holidays.
Drink.
Okay.
I wonder if they'll break any Witcher news over the holidays.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
I'm scared to ask what that might be.
The funny thing is, I'm starting to wonder if we're going to have the Hexer done by the time Blood Origin comes out. Because,
he breaking stuff?
Well, because I'm starting to think, with breaking stuff, and we have, other, and I'm not going to, go into it, but we have other side quests we've been talking about that we've already started kind of, piecing together, oh, yeah, we need to do this. So it's, with all of that, I'm like, are we going to, we're on, episode, we just did episode 3 of the Hexer, and there's 13 episodes, so we got 10 more to go, and it's November. I think, I think we're still going to be doing Hexer when, Blood Origin comes out.
Premieres at Christmas,
Sorry, guys, we didn't plan this out all that well.
Well, is that our fault that Cavill left The Witcher?
All right, so with that, I think we are about ready to wrap this up, right?
Yeah, very much so. Speculation!
Yeah.
It's all speculation. Blatant speculation. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah. No, all speculation. No one knows anything, including whoever wrote that article that you read that you're taking as gospel as, this is what happened. He doesn't know, or she doesn't know. They're just speculating, too. That's all any of us are doing. None of us work on The Witcher. The people that do, and the people that are involved with it, Henry Cavill, none of them are speaking.
I know. I know everything. I have a tape. Oh my God, they're coming for me.
All right. And with that, we don't have a producer anymore, Valerie.
You got taken away by Netflix.
So I guess we have to end this ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for talking this out with me, guys. It'll be okay.
Yeah. It'll be weird. It'll be weird, but it will be okay.
Witcher's gonna be fine, and we'll get through it together.
And I'm excited to see what happens. It's gonna be different, but it could be good.
Yeah. It'll be good.
It'll be good.
All right, guys. We'll see you in another week. We'll have another Hexer episode. We'll be back to talking Hexer and Polish names we can't pronounce, back to that wonderful, wild, wacky world. So we'll see you then.
Till then, we'll see you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Whiskey with Witcher is a Malcontent Media production by Tim Beadle and Valerie Petrarca. Our producer is Sean Farina. For updates, pics, and behind-the-scenes shenanigans, follow us on Twitter at WhiskeyWitcher and on Instagram at WhiskeyWithWitcher. Want to express your undying love for Roach or recommend a good whiskey? Email us at WhiskeyWithWitcher@malcontent.media. Who knows, we might even get drunk enough to read your email in a future podcast. If you like what you've heard, toss us a proverbial coin by rating and reviewing this show on Apple Podcasts and subscribing wherever podcasts are downloaded. Cheers!
We are drinking Elijah Craig bourbon, of which I have been a big fan since, I want to say, 28? Nope. Wait. That's not how that works.
28? back in the year of our Lord, 28.
Anno Domini 28.
Sean lives like a sorceress.
Well, now that you know my ways, I'm going to have to dispose of both of you.